Hey, let's do the show fast. I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Start now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. We have to do this show very quickly because David has to pee.
Yes, I have to go to the washroom, so this is going to be about a five-minute show.
Okay, sounds good. All right, yep. This show will last as long as David's bladder will hold.
That's right.
This will be an interesting challenge. You are, as well, drinking a Coke right now. It's one of the Canadian four-liter Cokes. You're halfway through it.
It comes in a bag.
That's right. It comes in one of those milk bag things that we talked about last week. That's right. Three plastic bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how we do Coke and do Coke. That's how we do Coke in Canada. We do Coke in bags.
That's right. Well, that's the slogan for for Coke in Canada. It's do Coke.
Do Coke. That's right.
But that's because we have no illegal drugs in Canada, so it's not in any way offensive.
And then because it's Canada, it's do Coke. We're all about the snow.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
A lot of people don't know that we have no illegal drugs in Canada. Everything in Canada is legal.
Yeah.
It's just higgly piggly, crazy wazy up here.
Except aspirin.
Well, yeah.
Which can cause heart problems. No, can cure heart problems, cause stomach problems.
Right, and we want heart problems. That's the problem with Canada is we are so healthy that the government has introduced legislature to give us all heart problems. So we must all, every day, every Canadian citizen must eat a stick of butter and then sit quietly for 7 hours.
What is a stick of butter? How much is a stick of butter? How much is that actually like in a measurement?
In a measurement?
You ever had like you're doing a recipe?
Yeah, I'd say that's about 250 grams. Let's go with that. I think that's about right. Standing by that.
What does that mean, though?
What's that?
I can only think of cups. Like, how many cups is that? Is that a half a cup?
I believe
a quarter of a cup?
Well, if you stop talking,
three quarters of a cup?
Listen.
5/8?
I think...
7/8 of a cup.
I'm going to say 250 is about a cup. I think that's about a cup. Because I think 500
it's eight milliliters... Of a cup.
I think 500 milliliters is the same size on my two-cup cup.
Yeah.
On the other side, it says 500 milliliters, I believe.
Okay.
I do know that a gram is about a raisin in weight.
Okay.
And that's the only way I know what a gram is, because we have no illegal drugs in Canada. Yeah,
that's right. So we don't worry about those sort of things.
No. I mean, you just get if you say want as we mentioned last week, Dave is a fan of heroin.
Yeah.
If you want some heroin, you just go down to mom and pop shop down the street.
That's right.
You order your liter of milk. You order, a couple of, whatever's of heroin. I don't know what I think they just sell them in fun bags, they call them.
Fun bags.
Yeah, you can either have fun size heroin or fun bag size heroin. No matter what size you get with heroin, it's always a fun time.
Yeah.
The after effects, not so good.
Actually, you buy it in those little packets of Lick'em.
Yeah.
And just have the little candy stick, I dip it into the heroin and do it that way.
They don't have that anymore. Once again, because of the heart thing, they've replaced the candy stick with a piece of bacon.
Okay.
Also, doctors, instead of tongue depressors, use beef jerky.
We're blaming this on participation.
That's right. Participation worked way too well,
way too well
in the 70s.
Because when we were doing it, we were so into participation.
Everyone was.
Oh, it was crazy.
It was like, it was catch the fever. But then a lot of people caught the fever and died from the fever. And we realized that was malaria.
It was dengue fever.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Dengue fever?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because we had dengue marriage back then. That's right. That's when they legalized that. Well, the big thing with participation in Canada was in the 70s, they had a commercial where it was an old Swedish man. I say old, but he was like 60-something.
He was 46.
No, he was older than that. He was in his 60s. And there was like, I was going to say a guy who's regular age. That sounds wrong. There was no regular age. But it was a guy like in his like late 20s or early 30s.
That's right.
And the two of them were running along. And it's like, they're the same health. An old Swedish man, again, it feels bad to say that about 60 because 60 feels different now. And the old 30, early 30 guy, and they're the same health. And we were supposed to be shamed by that. But it turned out that was a lot of bullshit.
It was? Because
he
wasn't Swedish.
Wasn't he?
No.
I don't think his nationality was in question.
It was like, what the hell? He wasn't even Swedish. He's just some Canadian guy that they hired to pretend he's Swedish.
Well, it was – I bet that is true. I would not doubt that was true. It reminded me of the ads they used to have for yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like there's this small village somewhere. And it was like these people are like living into their hundreds.
Yeah.
And they're eating yogurt. And they're like, it's because of yogurt. And it's like, it wasn't because of yogurt. It was because of the draft. And it was like people lied about their age so they didn't have to fight in a war.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when you get to be 120, all of a sudden that lie becomes apparent. Luckily, the people you lied to are long since dead.
Yeah.
So just forget that.
This lot of reporters very excited that you eat yogurt and are 120.
Yeah, because we're looking for Shangri-La. We're mm-hmm. looking for the city of eternal life. But the ticket to that city is not made of yogurt.
No.
No tickets really should be made of yogurt.
hard to frank them when they're made of...
Is that what it's called when you do the thing? Is it that's called franken?
That's called franking.
Oh, okay.
Franking.
So yes. What's beaning?
Beaning is hitting someone on the head.
Okay, so if you did a Franks and Beans, that would be you would either like
that would be
punch
my usual,
the ticket.
It would be your usual experience at customs.
That's right.
That's what that would
it
be.
It would be punching the ticket, and if you don't have a ticket, you get beaned. So you either get franked or beaned.
Or
and
then you know, stamp the passport.
Yeah.
And then take you into the back room.
Right.
And finish you off.
Or Harrison Ford throws you out the window and then goes, no ticket. And everyone has a good laugh.
What is that? Is that from the one where he's president?
I believe. No, that's not. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be terrible? Air Force One. And it's the president has to go through Air Force One just going, ticket, please. No, that's not the president's job, making sure everyone's got a ticket.
I just thought that they were people who, you know, stowed away.
No, I believe.
And when he threw them off of Air Force One, he said... Whatever he said, no ticket. Was that what he said? No ticket? No laundry?
That's right.
Okay.
Two things the president does if you go on Air Force One.
Yes.
One, you'll see him taking tickets.
Tickets.
Two, he will do your laundry. You can bring that.
He is bored.
Well, this is the thing about
What's he going to do in Air Force One?
Exactly. Well, The Last Crusade, by the way, was the movie I was referring to. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. But who gives a damn about that? We're off on this tangent now. The president, when this is from the old American Constitution. Now, the problem with the Constitution is...
They didn't have participation, so it's very weak.
That is true. Yeah. They're still considering an amendment, but they're worried it'll be a slippery slope that'll lead to...
Dengue marriage.
What is it? Ben-gay marriage?
Dengue.
Dengue. Okay, Ben-gay. Well, with Ben-gay marriage, you'd have nice muscle relaxing.
That's true. Okay. If you do a lot of working out, a Ben-gay marriage
would
be good.
The only problem, the Constitution is a lovely document, but the problem is it only applies to land. Like, because they didn't expect that at any point the president would be in the sky.
Okay.
They didn't see that happening.
Okay.
So, when you're in the sky as the president and Air Force One, everything is sort of flip-flopped. And the president has like the opposite of powers that he does on Earth. So he will have to take tickets. He will have to do laundry. He will have to cook you a meal. If you need a massage, he'll give you a massage. He can do anything. He's basically like a genie in the air. He will do anything that you ask.
Is that right?
That's how Air Force One works. That's why the president hates taking it.
He hates taking Air Force One.
Well, yeah, because he's got to do everything. And that's the point. All the Secret Service guys go, hey, shine my shoes, buddy.
That's why it's a common sight in the States to see the president hitchhiking.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to take Air Force One. He's just like, I'll thumb it.
Well, if you remember George W. Bush, he used to be jogging a lot.
Who's that?
He was the guy he had the memory erasing ray afterwards. That's true. But what happened? He was always jogging, and people went, "Oh, he likes staying in shape." No, he just doesn't want to fly in that damn plane.
Okay,
he doesn't want to have to, you know, once again, like do carpentry work for people because they bring like cabinets and their dishwasher and go, "It doesn't work." And it's like he'd have to fix it mid-flight. He goes, "I don't know how to do this. Yeah. I'm good at clearing brush.
Yeah.
I used to manage, I think, a baseball team once. I don't know what I'm doing." But yeah,
is that part of managing a baseball team is clearing brush?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Well, if you go to a baseball game, one of the first things they have to do is clear the brush.
Clear the brush.
Because you don't want anyone tripping on the brambles and falling into the thickets. I don't know.
Exactly.
Are those things?
Sure.
The prickle bushes?
Thickets, yep.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. You're stretching your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
We like it. This is like Reader's Digest.
Is a thicket where you would find a prickle bush? Would you find a prickle in a thicket?
Sure, why not?
All right, fair enough.
Would you find
Alan Thicke in a thicket?
Would you find Alan Thicke in a thicket? You could. Perhaps he was spying on you.
Is that what he's doing now?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. He doesn't. You know what he has to do? He has to go, good job, my son, Robin.
He was on...
Because Robin Thicke is now a big shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Doing what?
He's a musician. Well, I'm glad you asked. I was watching The Chew today, and Robin...
What is The Chew?
Well, The Chew, do you know The View?
I do know The View, yeah.
Okay, now imagine that it's people cooking, and none of them like each other at all. And they all feel really awkward.
So it's like The View, only they're cooking.
That's right. Okay. Basically, I'm telling a lie. Like, the way The Chew works is there's two chefs who think they should have their own damn show and are barely tolerating the other two. And the other two are smiling like maniacs. Like, okay. if their smile stopped for a second, a sniper would just take them out.
So actually, just off camera, there's a person standing there with a gun pointed at them.
Yeah, just gotta keep smiling. The second the second I don't see teeth, bang, you're down.
It's smile time.
Yeah, watch it. There's like you'll see the two smilers and the two barely putting up with this. But Robin Thicke was on there today.
Okay,
he's a musician.
Oh, okay,
and so he's quite a successful.
So
musician.
Is his father. His father has written several songs.
Such as?
That are quite memorable.
Such as
the Facts of Life theme song?
And also the...
Theme song for Growing Pains?
Nope.
The theme song for Family Ties?
Nope.
The theme song for Different Strokes?
That is correct.
The theme song for Cheers?
No.
The theme song for Hogan's Heroes?
Yes.
Wow.
Not the original Hogan's Heroes.
Okay.
But the one where they tried to make it less offensive by making the Nazis aliens.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And they are on an island.
And the Schultz character goes, I see Global Global.
He's not called Schultz, though?
No, no.
He's called Schultz 9.
That's right. He's a robot?
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. I missed that one, but I seem to miss a lot of shows.
You do. And
I don't know what it is. Like, there must be some sort of time period where I did not ever watch television.
Well, you were in that coma for 3 years.
Apparently. Because you talk about stuff like Bates Motel.
Yeah.
I have no memory of that.
Well.
I literally do not know that that show ever existed.
That's okay. You don't need to.
I knew that, like, Casablanca was a show. This is what we were talking about last week. We were talking about classic movies that became somewhat less than classic TV shows.
Well, here's the thing that I find weird. Anytime that we talk about our childhood, please take a drink.
Please take a drink.
Or in Canada, take any drug you want.
Or take any drug you want.
Except for aspirin.
Except for aspirin.
And once again, please try drinking a glass of olive oil.
Why? Why?
Oh, just for your heart.
That's for participation?
Yeah, probably canola oil would be better to be bad for your heart.
Also, what does canola oil come from?
Corn, I believe.
Rapeseed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I heard that they cross-pollinated that with dates and got date rapeseed.
That's what happened.
Anyway.
That's why they changed the name to canola.
Probably for the best.
It's less offensive.
But sometimes people have to go to the police and go, I was canola'd.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I don't like that I went down that road. I'm gonna take the car off this road.
Yeah.
I'm gonna walk through the thickets to a better road over here.
Okay.
Maybe it's not a better road. Hell.
Don't run over Ellen Thicke.
Okay.
Okay.
So now I'm not David Foster. I'm not going to hit a celebrity. Another Canadian reference.
There you go.
All right.
It's like we live in Canada.
That's right. You know he did hit a celebrity once, right?
Yep.
Okay, very good.
Did you know he was a music? He was on George Harrison Records?
No, I didn't
David
know
Foster,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. So here was something that was weird when I was a kid. You'd have these Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes, you did.
Which were aimed at children.
Yes, they were.
But often, I won't say often, but often enough, they were based on R-rated movies.
Is that true? So there was one for Midnight Cowboy?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
That was right.
I remember that one.
That's right.
Ratso Rizzo is actually a rat in the show.
And I don't want to, you know, it was originally called Pony Club. I know you're part of a very different Pony Club, but it was very different. But, you know, you had like, Rambo became a TV show for kids.
Okay.
You had RoboCop, once again, an R-rated movie. That was one. Toxic Avenger. There was an R-rated movie.
Really? These were all...
Yeah, and they all...
These were all morning or just...
Yeah, Saturday
whatever.
Morning. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and there's been others as well that are like based on like R-rated movies, which I always found like, well, that's a little strange. Oh, I don't know if this would count, but they had Tales from the Crypt Keeper and the Tales from the Crypt movies.
Okay.
You know, were,
Yeah, they're kind of.
They're kind of.
Yeah, and Debbie Does Wonderbug. That was another one.
Did she?
She did.
Okay.
What didn't she do? She was all over.
Yeah, but that was the time.
Those were the times.
Heard she passed away in a thicket bush related injury.
I went and saw a movie on Sunday.
Okay. Now I know you're only going to see this movie once, So it's important.
Probably not, because actually this is a director whose movies I watch quite often.
Oh, all right.
More than once.
Okay. And now, fact, David normally only watches a movie once.
Yes.
Because he feels if he watches it a second time, he's cursed.
No. I feel if I watch it a second time, I'm really bored.
Okay.
Which is often the case.
Fair enough.
And I don't know. It just doesn't matter what the movie is. Second time through.
He's seen Star Wars once.
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
All right. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Twice.
Okay. Jaws.
Probably once.
Okay. All right. All right, what movie did you see this
week? I would watch Jaws again, because I have never seen Jaws in like a really nice way.
We didn't. We were going to watch Jaws on the beach a little while ago, but we never got around to it.
Yeah, that to me doesn't sound that appealing.
Why is that?
Because it's not like a nice place to watch a movie. It's a nice place to go to do something, but I think the movie is not the point of it, the socializing, the fact that you're sitting on a beach.
I'll tell you, what
kind of screen is it?
It was just like a regular little kind of movie screen. I think we might have had a sheet. Maybe we had a sheet.
See, a sheet, that sounds really unappealing.
Well, look.
Now you're really making it sound
awful. No. We did this with Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it was actually great. Uh-huh. We hooked up a little projector. We hooked up to a nice DVD player, and then we had a generator, and we watched it on the beach, and it was actually really, really good. It was very, very fun. And then, of course, a lot of other people just gathered around and went, are you watching a movie? Like, yeah. And we had a nice time with it.
Hmm. But okay. See, that does sound pleasant.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's not ideal movie watching.
Right. Dave's situation. Holding his nose while he says that.
No, I'm not holding my nose much. But it's just, I don't know, it doesn't, like if I wanted to see a movie like that, you know, be a big television with surround sound and all that kind of stuff, right? That to me is like ideal movie watching situation. Someone putting a sheet up on a beach with a movie playing with a kind of dinky speakers.
Right.
That's fine. Like that's fine as like a social thing.
Right.
But as far as like a movie thing.
Right.
I'm just not into it.
I'm just picturing you in a tuxedo on the beach with a monocle and a big top hat going, pshaw.
Pshaw. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So you went and you saw one of the pictures, a talkie, I assume.
Went to a talkie. The thing is, I'm a huge fan of Whit Stillman, as you know.
Okay.
The director, he directed Barcelona, directed Metropolitan. Mm-hmm. And so it's been about 14 years since he's had a movie come out. And so I've been waiting and waiting for this new film that he's had. It kind of went through the festival circuit last year called Damsels in Distress. And I've been kind of, you know, Googling every once in a while, Googling the movie to see if it was coming out.
I'm sorry to hear it is not the name of the city again.
Yeah. But the last one was called Last Days of Disco. So
oh, okay. But fair enough.
He kind of went off the name thing.
All right.
And the other one is Metropolitan, which isn't really the name of a
true
city.
True. All right.
So that just, your whole thing fell apart.
It did fall apart.
Quite quickly. sorry. The sound of dominoes distracted me. So I've been watching, and so then I was talking to a friend last week, and he said, are you going to go downtown to see Damsels in Distress? So I was like, what? It's playing? And he said, yeah, it's at the cinemas on Granville Street. So okay, well, I'm going to go on Sunday, because I couldn't go Friday or Saturday. So I quickly Googled it to see when it was playing, and it wasn't playing. It had already left town. So it was just like some limited engagement. It was here a very, very short time.
Right.
It's probably one print crossing the continent. You know, so it's just only one, you know, can only show one theater at a time.
It's hitchhiking. It's much hitchhiking. Like the president.
Like the president, yeah. So I checked on this.
While the Incredible Hulk music plays, sadly, in the background.
You know when you check and you get that cinema clock?
Yep.
One that seems to be the one that comes up. So it gave other locations for where the movie is playing, such as Toronto and Kingston, which was very exciting that it's still playing in Canada. Unfortunately, they're about 3,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
But it was playing in Bellingham across the border.
Ah.
So I was all excited. So Lisa
wasn't excited about Bellingham.
Oh, yeah, going to Bellingham. So it was playing at like some kind of small theater down there called the Pickford Film Center. And
named
so,
after Mary Pickford?
Yes.
Who is she Canadian?
She was Canadian, yep, from
there
the
we
Maritimes.
Go.
Yeah. And
this is an annoying thing Canadians do. They have to mention every time a Canadian is mentioned. You know that person's Canadian. Yeah, I know.
It's called an inferiority.
I know your prime minister's Canadian. Shut up.
It's called an inferiority complex.
It is.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, Mary Pickford Film Center. No, it's just called the Pickford Film Center. So we went down there, the whole family, we went down to see the movie. So we got there, and it turns out that the film is being shown in a theater that serves alcohol. So the girls weren't allowed in because they're not 21.
Right.
So
you had to wait till they were 21.
Yeah, we've got to go back in 3 years.
Okay.
Or 7 years for Eve. I was like, actually what was really nice is that both my daughters said, you know what, it's okay, we'll wait. We know you've been waiting for this movie to come out.
Right.
We'll just wait. We'll hang around for an hour and a half while you guys see the movie and then.
Now, did they say it like that or did they say, No, it's okay.
No,
we'll
no.
Wait outside.
No, they were like
in America alone.
They were pressing us.
Okay.
They're pressing us.
That sounds suspicious. I wouldn't leave them
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, it's fine. We'll be fine on our own.
What can they
it's
do? Great. What can they do?
No, what can two teenage girls do in America?
Yeah.
Good point.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
What are they gonna do? Get drugs? They can get that in Canada.
It's a good point.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I wasn't worried. So
So you left them outside in the
outside
car
in
with
the, car.
The window
with the window
down a crack.
Just down a crack. And I put on music for them. Mm-hmm. No, they just waited in the... Well, they went for a walk, actually, and got soaking
turned
wet.
Turned on the radio. Unfortunately, it was the emergency broadcast signal. It was doing a two-hour test.
What was so great is they had this map they were going to use to walk around Bellingham. Mm-hmm. But it was so rainy out that the whole map just fell apart in their hands as they were walking.
And that's how a horror movie starts.
They saved it. They saved it to show me. And it was just this crumpled ball of wet. That's all the map had become. So they didn't go very far. They basically walked a little bit, got really wet, and came back in and dried off in the theater.
Yeah.
In the
do you
theater
know why?
Lobby.
Because that map was made out of yogurt.
Exactly.
That's
which
how
is
they
not,
do things in Bellingham.
That's right.
Because they don't cotton to strangers.
They don't cotton anything. But the movie was really good.
Right. Now, what alcoholic beverage did you have?
I didn't have any alcoholic beverage.
Well, then you're missing the point.
I don't think the point is
they
to...
They nicely go, we serve alcohol here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You go, none for me, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm a teetotaler, sir.
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine.
I had a pop.
So they made no money off of you at all.
I had a dad's root beer, which is named after me.
Okay.
But the movie was
did
really...
Did you have some dad's cookies as well?
I did not have any dad's cookies. I did not serve dad's cookies because those are strictly Canadian, speaking of our Canadian inferiority complex and our need to point things out.
I don't think it's an inferiority complex. I think it's the same thing as like if someone's from your hometown,
yeah.
You would go, oh, that's the person from my hometown.
Yeah. But isn't it kind of weird? Like, do you think an American says that about every person that they mention?
No, because they never leave. So you wouldn't refer
true.
To it.
I guess that's true. Like, there's so many actors and people like that are...
Okay, this brings up... Let me just nerd off for just, like, 2 minutes, and then
well,
we'll
you know,
come back to your thing.
There's great American comics like Jim Carrey and Mike Myers. And you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, so why would they leave America to go and...
You raise an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole... this reminds me of something that used to bug me about the show Smallville, aside from... You know, that it took 10 years, you know, for him to, so stupid. Anyway,
to graduate?
Well, just he was just a mopey son of a bitch for like 10 years. You know, I got powers. Maybe I'll put on a cape. It'll take me 10 years to decide. Yeah, okay, the end.
Was that the arc?
It was pretty much. Okay. It was just like really morose. But you had Lois show up in Smallville.
Did you know that show was filmed in my area? Like where I live?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you live in Metropolis?
No. Smallville.
Oh, you live in Smallville.
I live
okay.
in Smallville. You're getting right. confused.
Okay. So
doesn't he move to Gotham City when he...
No, of course he doesn't. That's where Batman lives. Okay. My God. Also, Green Lantern lives there. Golden Age Green Lantern.
In Gotham City?
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Golden Age Green Lantern.
Okay.
So you had Lois, and she moves to Smallville, which, you know, doesn't happen in the comic, but what are you going to do? You got to bring Lois into it.
Yeah.
And she sarcastically calls Clark Kent...
What about Lana?
Lana is was gone by this point.
She's not in. She didn't live in Smallville.
She did, and then she left.
She got an offer for a better series.
I think that's generally what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of people living in your area, the actress who played Lana lives about 4 blocks from where I live,
oh.
Or at least that's where she used to. So okay.
She lives in your area.
That's right.
Okay.
It sounds creepy when we say that.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute.
All right, we will. But let me just say this and get it out of the way because I'm really building to nothing. And
okay.
Let me just get it over with okay. So we can just
okay.
like, get over this hurdle.
Okay.
So she moves to Smallville and
yeah.
she sarcastically calls Clark Smallville.
Basically, she calls him Smallville?
Yeah, like as in like,
not
you know,
even...
because you're a rube. You're a rube. So he's going to, listen, Smallville, we got to go do this.
Oh.
Okay.
Does she snap gum when she just says it?
Don't think she does. But here's
is she kind of a brassy dame?
She is a brassy dame. But
okay.
Here's the problem. That works if you're in Metropolis and you're sarcastically calling the person Smallville, which I believe they might have done in other TV shows. It
okay.
doesn't work if you're in Smallville. Because then everyone's Smallville,
yeah,
and they're going,
yeah.
why are you calling him Smallville? You
mm-hmm.
know, because it's a hick town where nothing
yeah, yeah.
happens. Oh, well, let's beat you to death and leave you in the
yeah,
thick
like
of
bush. When he leaves there and goes to Gotham City to work at the Daily...
Does not go to Gotham City.
To work at the Daily Globe.
No.
It,
no, does not work at the Daily Globe.
He doesn't work at...
No.
Whatever.
Originally,
when
Superman
to...
worked for the Daily Star, then worked for the Daily Planet.
When he worked for the Red Star.
No, Daily Star. The Red Star... is a character who used to be called Starfire, but then they had a second Starfire. All right, back to your point, Dave.
Well, it just seems then when he goes to the city.
Right. To a different area.
To a different area. That's right. Then it would make sense to call him Smallville.
Indeed it would. Well, it's still a jerk-ass thing to
do. It still, of course, is. But Lois Lane is a bit of a jerk-ass.
She really, really is.
She's what we call a brassy dame. Mm-hmm. And he should say to her, that's Mr. Smallville to you. Mm-hmm. That would pretty much solve it all.
Yeah, basically, I think Superman could do better.
He could do better than Lois Lane?
Yep.
Like whom?
Like anybody, pretty much.
Such as?
You know what? Even Lana Lang, I think she's more grounded, down to earth.
She's more of a down to earth girl?
Should have gone back to Lana. Yeah. Lori Lamaris. She was nice.
Lori Lamaris was nice?
Yeah.
What other L's were there?
Oh.
Besides Lex Luthor.
Okay. You had your Lex Luthor, Lois Lane, Lucy Lane. That was Lois's sister.
Really?
You had,
I didn't know she had
Lightning
a...
Lad, Lightning Lass.
Okay.
You had...
What about his good friend, Limmy Lawson?
That's, that you just made that up.
Okay.
You completely made that up.
I might have.
I've forgotten most of the other double L's.
I like how your nerd bristles come up when I say things that
are
wrong.
Well, do you know who would also be an L?
I cannot not correct this.
Is his mom. Because his mom, well, here's a problem.
Wait, her last name is Kent.
No, his name is Kal-El, son of Jor-El, so the last name is L.
Oh, okay.
So that's L. And her name was Laura, so that'd be Laura L, that'd be double L.
Oh, yeah.
If she took her husband's name, which I don't think she did, quite frankly.
I thought you were talking about Ma Kent, whose first name was Candy.
It's not true at all. This was a problem I actually used to have with Krypton, was you had Superman's parents, and you had, like, you know, who's there? It's General Zod, and who are you? I'm Jor-El, and who's this woman here? Laura.
Yeah.
Ran out of names, huh? Laura. Ran out of spacey, crazy names, and this one's, who are you? I'm Gortok 7. Who's this? This is my wife, Sarah. Nope, that does not fly.
How about Sarah 6?
Yeah, Sarah 6, maybe, or Sarah with like an X in the middle of it. Sure, I'm all for that.
That
you know,
work.
If we're doing space names, stay on the damn theme. It bugs me when things break a theme. It bugs me, you know what bugs me? The Denny's menu, and you've got one dish, and it's called Moons Over My Hammy. Got one dish. Moons Over My Hammy.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, we're doing funny names.
Yeah.
Nope, we're not. And then the rest are all just...
Grand Slam.
Yeah, well, Grand Slam. So we're doing a sports theme, are we?
Yep.
Nope, it's the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but everything's got its own angle. What do you got here? Club Sandwich. No! Look, just like Club-a-dub-dub, three men and a... either go with a theme or don't, but don't just random it.
Yes.
And here's the other thing about Denny's. If you look on the back, and I haven't been to Denny's for a while because I'm trying to eat healthier now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look on the back of the Denny's menu, the seniors menu, you can have the seniors menu when you're 55.
Yep.
Meaning they don't think you're going to live very long.
That's American old age.
55?
Yeah.
That's a senior. Like, we know people in their 50s mm-hmm. that ain't that. It takes me back to oldie McSwedish man who's 60.
Yeah.
There's like, hey, that business. Like, that doesn't, that's not 60 anymore.
When you're a teenager, that is incredibly old.
You know, I think, but the I'm looking at old-timey representations of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's always like 60, and it's just, tell you. It's like, that's not what 60 is at all. And I don't think the shows were being written by people who were teenagers. It's like, what's that about?
I know, it's kind of odd, isn't it?
But it's also weird when I watch like old episodes of, say, Emergency or Hawaii 5-0, and they give someone who's like, you know, who's clearly like late 50s.
I know what
and
you're
it's like,
say.
Yeah, and it's like, how old are you? He's 35. He's not at all.
Yeah, and you're
35.
Just like, oh man, that actor. He couldn't take being referred to as 50. That's what it was about.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't get this toupee for nothing. I am 35 in this show.
Which kind of makes you go, like, I just think, like, wow, people aged hard back then. They lived hard. Speaking of the president, you know how fast the president ages. You know, back then, you just freaking aged.
You know, the other strange thing, we were out of Emergency and it reminded me of Psycho, was the one with the bushfire and is the Psycho House is one of the houses they're going to clear people mm-hmm. out of. And it's like, they live in the Psycho House. Wow. But they don't refer to it as a Psycho House. It just happened because it was on the Universal lot. So the show is a Universal show, so they just used that house.
Did they make any like little
No.
Eh?
Nope.
Hope his mother's okay.
That was the 70s. There was no irony in the 70s.
Now, when they
irony-less age.
Now, when they went to the house, like I know they've still got the Psycho House mm-hmm. there.
Yep.
That still exists.
Yep.
Does the motel still exist?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think the motel may not have existed in the same space as the house anyway. It may have just been a matte painting or whatever they, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Because Hitchcock used that a lot. He didn't really do a lot of set building and stuff like that.
Okay, even in the old Psycho days, let's say the movie Psycho. So you got the motel,
yeah,
and then you got the house way up there.
Yeah.
Why not build the motel closer to the house?
You would think so.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like that makes a lot of sense. Why not? At some point, someone should have built one of the two things closer to the other thing, or just why don't you live in the motel?
But I think if the hotel was a bustling place,
yeah,
then you wouldn't want your house to be near the noise.
Okay.
You know, like I think at one point it probably was like a successful motel, and then the freeway was built or whatever and drew the traffic away.
Right.
So at some point, you know, it lost its.
And then the murder started.
Well, that's always kind of cuts down on your traffic as well.
Yeah. Now in Psycho, I know we talked about the Psycho TV series, but we haven't talked much about the Psycho movie.
The movie itself.
In the movie Psycho, I haven't seen it for quite a while. I assume you've only seen it once.
Yes.
Okay.
But before I saw it, I read a book, like it was just the pictures of it. Do you remember those books that they would make? Richard J. Annobile, I think his name was. He would make these books of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd never seen the Marx Brothers Bananas or whatever, not Marx Brothers, Coconuts, you could read I think it was actually the one after that, Animal Crackers.
Oh.
I read the movie before I ever saw it. Because it wouldn't come on, right? So I was waiting and waiting. When went to the library, I saw this book and I was like, okay, well, I can't see the movie. I'll read the movie. So, but anyway, go on.
And now people ride the movies at Universal Studios.
Now they ride the movies.
And then Dave's sitting off to the side, read the movie. Just reading the book, just going, yeah, there
it's
you go.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So in Psycho, so the lady shows up, Janet Leigh, and she gets all murdered.
Yes, she does.
As you do.
But in the trunk of the car, and the car is sunk in the pond.
Right. Now, is she the first person that he's killed? Did she just happen to show up on the day where he went, you know what I'm for? Murder. Or had this been going on for a while, and this was just the first time it was noticed?
It's not really suggested, and maybe that's the case, that the first time that someone disappeared and they were able to trace it back to that point.
Right. Yeah, okay. No, I was just curious. I was curious if it was hinted like this has gone on for a while or...
It doesn't really... They don't really make a point of it. Do they? Remember, he's mad at his mom.
Right.
And he says like, no, not again or something like that. You know,
oh,
or what did
okay.
you do?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
What did you do, mother, or something?
Yeah, there's a little of that. Now, is he... Yeah. yeah. To him, is he surprised mom started killing
yeah.
her? Has mom been...
Well, no, it's more like... It's more like, not, you know, what have you done, mother? It's more like, you know, oh, mom.
Right. They didn't just...
What a pain you are.
Oh, mother.
Yeah. Tisk tisk.
I wonder what Mother's Day
is like
for
out.
Him. Like, would he make a card? Would he buy a card?
Yeah.
Or,
he would.
Like, there's the scene.
Yes.
A little bit of spoilers where you see the skeleton.
Terrifying moment.
Terrifying.
Do you know why it's terrifying? Because of that light swinging.
Otherwise, yeah, your dead mom otherwise is a skeleton.
I know, but it's just the like whole, the freaky lighting part of it. That's what gives it that extra.
True.
You know, a little frisson.
It could have been something very nice. It could have just been a kitten in the chair. And if you have that lighting and with that music going,
the Bernard Herrmann music playing.
That
would
be an interesting challenge, is take a movie and you play it beat for beat. I know they did
people
a beat
have
for
done
beat.
That.
I know they did beat for beat Psycho, but you play it beat for beat, but you take out... You take out the scary and add adorable. So it's so like he pulls back the curtain in the shower and it's just a little kitten and then he's just petting the kitten. But as the music goes reep 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 and it's just like the movie keeps going on. But every horrific scene has something just completely it's just
cute.
Like a little baby just learning to walk
is
like staggering towards you instead of being stabbed to death.
Yeah,
and just like ooh. But you play that music the same and you have the same lighting and just see if you just go, oh, it's a terrifying movie. Maybe it's more terrifying.
So it's like a little teddy bear rolling down the stairs, after, like, you know, when the detective gets...
Yes.
Gets stabbed in the head.
Yeah, just adorable, cutesy, cutesy, cutesy things.
Martin Balsam.
Yes, Martin Balsam. Ah, oh, I could go for a
I cannot remember
salad who, with some Martin Balsam dressing.
I cannot remember who plays the sister, though.
I can't either.
Yeah.
If only we were near something that
could... If only there was a way to look up information
that
was not at hand and you're not immediately...
But gentle listener, whatever you do, do not pause us to do that.
To do that. You...
And definitely do not then contact us and tell us.
Oh, no, that's
by that
fine.
Point, no, because by
that's
that
fine.
Point, we will not care.
No, no, that's fine.
Okay, David will care.
I will care. I'd be curious.
All right. David's gone back to Bellingham. He's watching that movie one more time.
I think it was Vivien Leigh. Oh, I would do that.
Now, how was the movie?
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, good, good, good.
It was so good. I mean, if you like Whit Stillman, that's the thing.
And watching movies with drunks.
That's the caveat I always find with Whit Stillman. Is if you like Whit Stillman, you will like that movie by Whit Stillman.
I do like Whit Stillman. I like the movies I've seen so far. I have not seen Last Days of Disco.
Oh, you haven't seen that one?
No, I have not.
It's not my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's not my absolute favorite, but it is really good.
It was
really good. And I was so happy when I came home one day and after I'd shown it to the girls And I came home one day and my daughter and her friend were sitting watching it. It's like, yes, brainwashing.
Aw, that's really sweet. Let's hear it. She fooled you like that.
Why?
Well, you know, she was watching whatever they were watching, and it was like immediately home, click, click, clack, clack, like right into it. It's like, hello, father. We're just watching The Last Days of Disco.
Yeah, if only they really cared that much that they would change what they were watching to please me.
That's true. I am ignoring the apathy of
music. The apathy and the indifference. Yes, exactly. The thing I was going to bring up before.
I'm sorry, I just thought of a movie about kids called The Innocence and the Apathy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. The naivete and the apathy. I don't know if it's innocence so much.
I think it starts innocence and then goes to apathy. I think that is the transition.
Yeah, innocence implies something that naivete, I think, is more accurate to describe kids than innocence. I don't think there's very much innocence in children. I think pretty much right away.
Well, I think innocence.
Machinations and plotting start pretty much out of the womb.
Well, I don't think innocence is in any way good. I mean, I think innocence just means unaware. I mean, that's just.
Why I'm putting it into
naivete. It's a nice way of saying dumb, really. It's a nice way of saying, like, just not that jar ain't full yet.
Is that how you take the word?
Innocence?
Yeah.
I think innocence just means unaware. Like, if you have knowledge of something and then act on it, then your actions can be good or evil. But if you don't know, then it's just nothingness. You know, innocence isn't necessarily good.
I take it as a purity, like a pure of heart, like that nothing at that age, bad thoughts would not occur to them.
Okay, but someone who is pure of heart,
which I don't believe.
There's two kinds of pure heart. One, you don't know about a thing, and so you don't do it because you've never even thought of it.
Yeah.
And there's two, you're aware of it, and you've rejected it, and you've purged it from yourself and go, that's not going to be part of my life.
Yeah.
And that's a different kind of pure of heart.
Sure,
and I think that one is good. But I think just strictly innocence for innocence sake is, you know, whenever people go, oh, it was a more innocent time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you knew less. That's fair enough.
But I think when people talk about children as being innocent, I don't think they think of them as meaning that they're.
I don't want to say dumb. Dumb's a mean way of putting it. But I think, you know, when I think back on being on myself, I just didn't know stuff.
Yeah, we're talking. That's why I think naivete is a more accurate description. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're. It's not that we were blameless or guiltless or I didn't have thoughts of doing bad things, but we also had a sort of guilelessness that we were unsophisticated.
Well, for an example, you know, when I was a kid, my friend was a mixed child of mixed race.
Okay.
And mother was Jamaican and dad was Greek. And so as a kid, I'm innocent. I don't know that's nothing. That's how it is. That's the norm.
Okay.
And then at one point, their next door neighbor started making some racial remarks that were just like really like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I found out about it and just went, well, that's just completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually went up and I confronted the neighbor and I got in trouble for that because you don't sass mouth an adult.
Okay.
But in retrospect, I realized I was right to do so.
Yeah.
And I still, of course, you know, play with them. That meant nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the two kinds. There's the innocent of not knowing.
Yeah.
But then once you know, realizing that doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't say that as a kid. even though I learned about swearing way too early. Because I wasn't innocent to swears.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of graffiti in my town. But yeah, there's the innocent of not knowing.
You went to elementary school with older kids.
Then there's afterwards of like, you know, with the information, making your own choices. I think that is more, I don't want to say I was good,
mm-hmm.
but that's good. And the other one is just, oh, you didn't know.
Yeah.
You had no idea. That could go either way. You know, an innocent mind could go, you know, bad or good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, until you know, it's not.
A good friend of mine, he, next door to him, my babysitter lived. He was a teenage boy and he wasn't babysitting us. So we were kind of hanging out with him or in his driveway.
He was off the clock.
He had this little book. Yeah, he was off the clock.
He could not get a free popsicle from your parents.
No, he could not. Well, he could have probably if he asked, but he had this little book and it was called The History of Sexual Perversion.
Yeah.
And I was.
Did he find it in the woods?
I really wanted to read this book. And it was almost looked like a little Bible. It had like a white cover and it was smallish and thick. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I so wanted to read this book. And he's like, no, you're too young for that. Like, come on. That's probably like grade 4.
Right.
Like, come on. Come on. You got to give this to me. And he's like, no. And he's like, you know, kept this going on for quite a while, probably for like half an hour to 45 minutes of teasing me with this book and stuff like that. Finally, he let me have it. And I grabbed this book from him and I opened it up. And it was just and I just got this horrible shock because all it was this book with a battery inside it that when you open the cover, it would give you an electric shock. So that's naivete. There is an example.
And then you went, this is my fetish. And that was,
that's it. Yes, now Lisa has to have a cattle prod.
That's right. It's all based on electricity.
That's right. Sorry, dear. Yes, during sex, I have to put my finger into the reading lamp beside the bed. Yes, Lisa has to wear a rubber suit to protect herself.
What? I hear Dave's a little AC/DC, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean. Yes.
But yeah, I think, yeah, innocence a little bit. Like, I think as a kid, your crack is knowledge. You know, you're constantly aware that there's stuff being kept from you.
Yeah.
That you want to know about. And as a kid, like, you're wired to learn as much as possible, as fast as possible. That's your job. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't survive, you know, that's your thing.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I was wired to learn and also to pass on the knowledge.
Okay. So you went and you bought that book and you passed it on.
No, not that book, but yeah, one of my mom's favorite stories to tell is we were driving in the car and one of my brothers asked where babies come from. So my mom started this, I was probably in grade 3 maybe. Mm-hmm. Mom started this long, convoluted, stork, you know, kind of BS answer to that question. And I went, no, mom, the man puts his penis in the woman's vagina. My mom was just sort of shocked that I would know that and also that I blew the cover. Like, I should have not said anything, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of like Santa.
Yeah.
Well, that's
oh yeah, saying Santa doesn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember the first time that I found out where presents came from, which was Santa has sex with the chimney, and then by morning the presents drop through the chimney.
Is that right?
Yeah, Santa impregnates the
chimney. Santa puts his penis in the chimney's vagina.
Oh well, you got to know. Okay, let me just make this clear: the top of the chimney.
Yeah.
Santa's on top of the house,
okay.
Fucking the chimney.
Fucking the chimney.
And he does that at night.
Yeah.
And then that's why he needs cookies and milk, because afterwards he's blown his load. So he's got to health up. So, and then over the course of about 8 to 9 hours, the presents grow in the chimney, then drop out and bounce over to the tree.
Yeah.
And that's.
That's how presents are made.
That's how presents are made.
Wow.
A lot of kids just think, oh, Santa comes down the chimney and drops them off, which is adorable.
But you thought Santa comes down the chimney.
Nah, it all makes sense. You know, it all makes sense. That's why Santa loves his job.
He loves his job so much. I think he'd be really raw after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would be, no wonder he dresses in red.
Mm-hmm. And man, by the end of Christmas Eve, is his dick black.
Well, I would think black and bleeding.
Yeah.
It would just be...
The nice thing, though, is after at Christmas...
You've ruined Christmas
for me. Your chimney is now completely clean. Do not have to hire a chimney sweep.
No,
Santa's been there.
Did you ever have Christmas canceled when you were little?
No, what happened? When did Christmas get canceled?
My mom...
I've seen a lot of specials almost where Christmas almost gets canceled.
My mom almost canceled her Christmas.
What did you guys do? Kid. Did you tell someone that where babies came from? And she went, I'm pulling this car. That'd be funny. Like, hey, mom, the man puts the penis in the woman's vagina. Yeah. That's it! Christmas is canceled!
Christmas is canceled. Putting the tree back into the closet.
What? But mom, why?
So all this, the decorations are still on it, falling on the ground as the parents shove it into the closet. Christmas is ruined. David has ruined Christmas, everyone.
No, what happened to cancel Christmas?
We were playing in the fireplace. We were burning things in the because there was a fire in the fireplace.
Yeah.
My parents were not in the room.
Because you like to burn things in effigy. I remember you.
Yes, that's right. So we had a Richard Nixon doll. And
we were burning an
American flag. And we were burning them.
Yeah.
And we're, you know... I was dressed as
out of Vietnam. Yeah,
I was dressed as Jerry Rubin, and my brother was Abby Hoffman. And you know, we had our head, you know, the bandanas on, and we were power to the people, man. You know, up against the walls, motherfuckers, and we were burning.
I know what kids used to play. Yeah. We all used to play like Rubin and Hoffman.
Yeah,
because at that point, Cowboys and Indians was too racist.
So we would, we'd be like the Chicago Seven, and other friends would be the Pigs, we would, you know. We'd be like, yippies versus the pigs.
And then the Hoffman would have to run around the entire house, touch the doorknob of the front, say the entire poem, howl, and then he would be out.
I've seen the best minds of my generation.
Tag, you're out. Almost got through it.
That's right. Exactly. Thanks for saving me, because I only knew the opening lines.
That's okay.
But my mom found this burning stuff in the fireplace. And so Beachcombers was turned off. We weren't allowed to watch the rest of Beachcombers.
That was good.
Well, I liked Beachcombers when I was a kid.
Really?
It was a a little kid.
Okay, as a little kid, who's your favorite character? Let me just ask.
Relic.
Of course it was, because he was a bad person. Yeah. Okay, all right. Bad influence.
So then, yeah, and we got sent to bed. Mm-hmm. We couldn't hang our stockings. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Christmas was over. That was harsh, man. You would not have believed the tears.
Was it fully over, or did she like?
Of course, she had to relent. It's the most empty threat you've ever heard in your life.
Oh, okay, all right.
I would never, like, as a parent now, I can imagine doing that because it is such an empty threat. There's no way you could go through with it.
Wow. The only way you could go through with it is to drug your children. The only way is with chloroform. Christmas is canceled. Chloroform knockout
for what? Forever.
No, for the day, until it's Boxing Day. Oh,
it would just, no, this is no good.
Then they stumble up.
No good.
Speaking of beachcombers, something...
Was I?
Yes, you were. I heard a story once about Conan O'Brien,
okay.
who saw the show with I think it was his brother or like a really good friend, and they saw it in America. They were like close enough to the border where they caught a thing of it, and they just went, "We've got to meet Jesse."
Really?
And they looked him up, the actor.
Yeah.
And his address was listed in the Canadian phone book.
Of course it was.
And you could get that at either the post office or the library. And they checked mm-hmm. out and they went, we've got to go meet him.
Yeah.
So they traveled. Geez, it was from Eastern America. It traveled to Canada.
Yeah.
They went
close. If you're in Boston or whatever, you're pretty close to this Canada.
Yeah, but not close to Gibson's.
No, not at all.
They flew to
Gibson's?
They got to Gibson's and they found his home.
Yeah.
And they knocked on his door.
Yeah.
And he came out and they went, are you Jesse Jim? It's like, yes, I am. Oh, we really enjoy your work. Oh, thanks. Okay, bye. And then they went back home.
That's not possibly true.
Yeah, that is the story that they say they did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's great that they did that.
Yep.
It's strange that they enjoyed the show that much.
No, I don't think they did. I think that it was one of those ironic things of just like, we've got to go say hi to this. I don't know. Maybe there was a joy in it as well.
Irony.
I don't know. I don't know.
Irony.
I don't know. I know I know Beachcombers was very popular in Europe because they liked the trees.
They liked the trees.
It was a beautiful green.
North America is very popular in Europe, because especially in Germany, because there was this author sometime in the teens or 20s mm-hmm. who wrote a series of books. They're all about like Native Americans and the wild, the wilderness, and these very romanticized books about the Canadian wilderness and stuff like that. In fact, it kind of started a German sort of Boy Scouts.
Those books were called Och Canada.
Och Canada, is that what they're called?
That's right, yeah.
That's a Scottish one, isn't it?
It's also a Scottish
also German.
Version, that's right, yeah.
Okay, Heil Canada
is what
you're thinking of.
Too soon.
Too soon. When Canada had its own Nazi party?
I hate that I said too soon. I really apologize. You know, I know we've got the hate crime jar. I'm going to put a nickel in the too soon jar.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to use that. It's there. Boom. Nickel's in.
Thank you.
Okay, please continue.
You know, after season of the show, we have to use spend our nickels and buy something. We can get a Slurpee or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh, yeah. So that's it. Like, that's why, like, Germans love to come here. German tourists love to come to Canada.
German terrorists?
Tourists.
All right.
Tourists love to come to Canada.
Okay.
I don't know if German terrorists love to come to Canada so much. Like, you're thinking Bader-Meinhof coming here to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you ever play Bader-Meinhof when you were a kid?
No. What is that?
Well, you play Hoffman and Meinhof. And so it's Abby Hoffman.
Abby Hoffman.
And Meinhof.
Friedrich Meinhof.
That's right. Friedrich Meinhof.
Okay.
And once again, same rules apply. Same rules. You got to run around the house.
Run around the house. Okay.
Before...
you have to yell out. You have a book that someone has to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, steal this book.
Yep.
And that's kind of like kick the can.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Hoffman has to flirt with young men. Along the way, and he's
you know, the Bader-Meinhof gang did some really awful things.
Well,
I don't know if I'm so comfortable with this joking.
Fair enough. Okay, go ahead. It's all right. Hoffman did some bad things too.
Abby Hoffman?
Yeah.
Like what?
Love things with young men that were underage that would nowadays get you thrown in jail.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep. That's. I'm going to look that up and double check.
Yes. Now that you've slandered him on the internet.
I've heard that repeatedly, and there you go. But please continue on with your...
Well, you know, times are different then. How young?
Not that different.
How young?
Like, too young.
Okay.
Not just, God.
The rule is half your age plus 7.
Nope, right? not after a certain point. Yeah, half your age plus 7 for adults. And that's always like after 18. That's right. That's how that goes.
So if you were 25, you couldn't go out with a 19-year-old. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, you could actually. Yeah, that'd be fine.
What if you're 24? Could you go out with a, what would it be, 12? Well, it'd be 19 again.
Yeah.
Shoot.
By the way, Dave, every number ends up 19.
Does it?
Yes. in that kind of
math. If you're 22, it's 18.
No.
Is that bad? Is that okay?
No, it's 19. You're forgetting. That's a leap year. It's 19. Every number ends up with 19. Every mathematical equation ends with 19.
Okay. Before we go any farther with your nonsense,
okay,
I just want to talk about something that I kind of wanted to talk about.
I'm trying to derail the tragedy that you brought up.
What tragedy?
Well, the terrorist and the horrible things.
I just merely mentioned it. You're the one who ran with it like a maniac.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, I tried to distract with a bit of pedophilia. And, you know, all right, but go ahead. Let's bring things back to Iceland.
Okay. Yes, let's go to Iceland.
Remember, Dave, you have to pee.
Yes, that's right. This show can't go on for too long.
That's okay. We've got about 10 minutes left. We're fine. Go ahead. I'm going to drink some water while you're talking, though. I hope that doesn't bother you.
No, that's fine.
Dave, here's what I think always helps me. Picture you're standing waist deep in a warm pool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, thanks. With my hand in a glass of water? With my finger in a warm glass of water?
That'd be a weird thing to bring into a pool.
Stand there in a pool with my finger in a glass of water?
Yeah, that's the old trick.
What are you doing? I mean, I'm fine. Puts me on my stomach while I'm sitting down, pressing down on my stomach. Does that help too?
That's right, under a waterfall.
Under a waterfall. Picture the sound of a fountain.
While reading an Aquaman comic book.
Been watching him on Super Friends.
That's right.
Okay. So what I was
You don't have a TV in the pool, do you?
Yes.
That's not safe at all. Don't have
No. Remember, I like sharks.
Oh, that's true. That is your fetish.
I forgot about that, didn't you?
I did forget about that. That's right. Your favorite Spider-Man villain is Electro. When are they having Electro in the movie series?
Why don't they? Because he had a great costume.
He did.
I don't know if it would translate so well to film, though.
I think the next film, you got to go with Electro. They've run out of villains.
I thought the lizard guy was going to be in the next film.
Well, the one after that, yeah.
The one after what?
The one after the one that's coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The next one has to be Electro.
Has to be Electro.
How about the Rhino?
Well, what's he do? Run at you? Get out of the way.
It is kind of a...
Rhino has never been a problem.
He's kind of a limited character.
Yeah.
Especially to a guy who can, like, suspend himself in the air.
Exactly. Like, okay. Rhino can sort of almost knock down a building if given enough time.
Okay.
There's nothing good about the Rhino. He's got no point. It's like the Vulture. He's an old man with wings. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's how you feel about him?
You're an old... Well, there's... Actually, that was a thing with, like, Spider-Man villains. There was a lot of old men that he fought. He used to beat up Grandpa quite a bit.
Well, it was a symbolic of the generation gap.
Mm-hmm. You could have, like, maybe a Kraven the Hunter, maybe. Bit Hunter, maybe. But Electro's your go-to for the next one.
Okay.
All right, but please continue with your point.
Well, what I was going to say, and this is something that's bugging me for...
Got a pee yet?
Onomatopoeia?
Okay.
I've got to... something that's bothered me for a little while is... Well, could remember we said in our area. We're like, well, that sounds dirty. There's this whole thing that's come around now that you can't say anything without someone looking at you and saying, that's what she said, or making some sort of like, whoa, or what did you say? Or, you know, Groucho wiggling her eyebrows or whatever.
It's like when you talk about Ontario in Canada.
Yeah.
Ontario is Canada's bikini area.
Is it?
Yeah. That's the bathing suit area of Canada is Ontario.
Okay.
For an example. So that's maybe why it sounds a little bit dirty, but please continue.
Because it just seems like, well, for instance, the other day I was talking to someone and he was saying, what he was trying to tell me was
please
that...
Please say it in his voice if you could do it as an impression, that'd be nice.
No. He was basically saying, if someone got into my face, like if someone was like, you know, in his grill or whatever, but he said, you know, if someone comes in my face, and he kept saying that, I couldn't stop laughing. Although I knew what he meant,
right.
I couldn't keep my face, a straight face, and just take him at his word.
Now I got two problems there. One, if I had a choice between saying someone coming in my face or getting in my grill...
Yeah.
I don't know which way I'd have to go.
You don't know?
That's tough.
Because getting in your grill, your objection to that is...
How old is that saying? That's done.
That's okay. It's done.
Get
whatever.
In my grill.
I was just using it as an example of what you could say rather than someone coming in my face.
Old-timey dental work, old-timey braces that are actually a grill.
No. He was talking about someone else getting in his face.
He was talking about another person coming in his face.
Yes, that's right. So he was talking about this person. He's like, if someone, you know, comes in my face, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I said, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was a Navy man. You know, it was a merchant seaman.
But I said, I don't blame
you. It was a seaman in his face.
That's right. I was saying, I don't blame you with a giant smirk because, you know, I was kind of laughing at his use of, and then I was thinking, this is terrible. Like, our whole language has become this double entendre, and all we do is, you know, what's your friend's name? Oh, his name's Dick. His name's Dick. It's hilarious. Like, a whole name. You can't be called Thomas. You can't be called Dick. You can't be called whatever, John.
I used to know a guy. His name was Rod, and he lived in a house with four guys, mm-hmm. and they all had names that meant penis.
So there was Dick?
There was Rod. There was Dick.
Peter?
No, that's this. No.
Okay, no, Peter.
Oh, wait, it was Peter.
Okay,
yeah.
Peter.
I thought you said Cooter.
Oh no, Cooter is the old name for a penis. That's right. Cooter.
No, that's the other thing. So you had Rod. They had Dick. They had Peter. Mm-hmm. They had and I. Oh, I'm thinking this one guy actually did have the name John, and his middle name was Thomas. I think it was ridiculously like that.
Yeah, but there was like Percy.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But it was all names that that worked for...
And then, of course, the other guy, Penis.
Yeah, and then their friend Shaft would come over as well. Shaft.
And then the other friend, Randy, who, although he didn't have a name that was... This was kind of symptomatic of the whole
thing. Yeah, it's almost like a spin-off name. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But you're saying it's a shame that our language can be used
it's not a shame that our language can be used that way. It's a shame that our language has become that now, that everything that people say has become an opportunity for someone to say, that's what she said. You know, like, gee, this is tight. That's what she said. Or, I put that in there. That's what she said. Or, what, you know, it's just, after a while, you're just hanging your head because... How debased is it that...
hanging your head. I get it.
That's right.
Well, you listen to...
I don't want to go off half-cocked, but...
You, I mean, you watch yourself some Shakespeare. You watch a little Shakespeare mm-hmm. play. Mm-hmm. Filthy. Back in the day, filthy.
Sure.
And it was... They would say a thing wrapped in another thing. You know, it could be taken two ways, but it was the direct, you know, thing.
You're talking entertainment. I'm talking real life. People talking to each other in real life.
No, Dave. Entertainment is real life. Everyone has become a comedian.
Okay.
Everyone. When someone is doing that's what she says,
yeah.
They're not doing that as a person. They're doing that as kind of a comic.
Oh, they think they're funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, people watch something on TV. Then they go, I'm going to take this thing from TV. I'm going to put it in my life as we do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's just entertainment, people being entertainment.
Okay, well, I think there's one thing we've learned from Sneaky Dragon is that comedy should be left to the professionals.
So is that the end of our show? I think it is. Okay. Well, that normally we try to end awkwardly, but that ended kind of sad. Okay. I do comedy shows in town. I do a show called Amuse Bouche at Slickety Jim's. Fridays here in Vancouver, I do a show called, doesn't really matter, but Titmouse. It's sketch, stand-up, and improv, and that's Cosmic Zoo, third
really
Thursday of the month.
Kind of quite a mature name as well.
Yeah. So anyway, and I do, I guess, if you like sketch comedy on the radio, the Relevant show on CBC Radio, you get in podcast form, I suppose, but you raise a good point. There's really no, should just leave this all to professionals, I got to find another damn job. The last real job I had was as a Kelly girl, and they just had me washing cars. I guess I'm back to that.
Yep.
So are you saying this is our final episode?
Well, it's good.
Are we wrapping it up?
Good to end on 25.
Yeah, I guess we had a good run.
25 whole shows?
Yeah. No, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I guess we were wasting our time, but... Okay. So, I've got a lot to think about right now. A lot to think about. Dave? Anything you want to mention before we go?
Well, I was just going to point out that...
No, I'm done. Okay. Now, you raise a good point. Just wrap up the show. I'm going to just go look at the job notices.
All right. See you later. Well, Ian's left the building. And on that note, I will say goodbye to everyone. So don't forget, we will be back next week, perhaps. Good night, everyone.